What an honor it is to be here this morning. I'm so blessed, and I think I will be speaking here again in a couple of weeks, so I'll be back, okay? So, Aubrey, I think he preaches from the left, and I'm from the right. This is not a political statement, by the way, you know, so it's simply the way what we used to do it. Friends, God is good all the time, all the time. For richer, for poorer, God is good. In sickness and in health, all the time, until death do us part, God is good all the time. Amen. So I'm so honored to be here and pray that we will be blessed today. Shall we begin with a scripture reading? Is that the next item? Okay. I can read along with you from... No, I cannot read that. Oh, there it is. Okay, there it is. Good. Friends, the word of the Lord, like I said in my prayer, God chooses to manifest himself in a very unique way when his people gather to worship and to learn. And so receive the words we read from the gospel. Matthew 14, verses 22 through to 33. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind has risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Shall I cry out? "It's a ghost!" You know? But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Do not be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." And then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink, and he says, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And here ends our reading. Shall I stand, Alexander, a little forward to here for the camera? This is good? Okay, let's do it. Yeah, just want to get things straight here. Wonderful passage from the Bible. Okay. Oh boy, what a journey that had been. It took us 44 hours to travel all the way from Ancaster, where I live, Toronto, via Vancouver, to go to Perth, Australia. 44 hours. Do you know when you drill through the center of the earth, you know where you will end up? In Perth. Right. So if you travel, the world is round. So if you travel to Perth, the further you go, at some point, the further you go, the closer you come back to Ancaster again, you know? It took us 44 hours to make this journey, but we were pumped. We're going to visit with my sister-in-law and the outlaws related to her and everybody. So we were really excited. And eventually, after 44 hours, we walked out the airport at Perth. Perth is west of the rest of Australia. So it's on the Africa side where Aubrey and I were born. Okay, so there we were in Perth, and we were tired, had a little bowl of soup. It was about midnight, and then we went to bed, and little did I know that that night held some unexpected surprise for me, because it was around about 3 o'clock that morning that I woke up and I had this heavy, damp, wet, soaked blanket pressing down on my face. And I couldn't breathe. And it was like, get me out of here. What's happening? My heart was beating as fast as a kangaroo on caffeine bench, you know? They have kangaroos in Australia. So we've got to say that, right? So my heart was beating so fast, I couldn't breathe. Let me out of here. What I didn't know, arrived late at night, was that the family in Australia, they would have these heavy curtains to keep out the light, but also to keep the heat out, you know? And I was just lost. What was happening as that claustrophobia attacked me. I had suffered a claustrophobia attack right at that moment. And don't even get me started on airplane washrooms and elevators. That's a different story altogether. So I stumbled around in the room and I couldn't find my way out and I ended in the next room. It was a movie room. Who has a movie room in their houses? Even heavier curtains, right? And it was still pitch dark and I somehow stumbled, I think what was the kitchen, and with my bare feet, I stepped into the dog Billy's water bowl. And that made me jump almost through the ceiling. I ended up in their little gymnasium. In the dark, I could find a towel, and I put it over my head just to get my breathing back. It was a horrendous, terrible experience. But you know what? There where we were, down under, but thank you. People are awake here. But I was trapped in a deep, dark hole. And yet we were so excited to go, right? And we have this anticipation, and we paid the big money, and we planned this for weeks, and we went. But you and I know that that's the way life is, isn't it, sometimes? You know, things are going honky-dory, everything is positive, things are running smoothly, life is good, we got the bull by the horns, it's all perfect. And then just like that, unexpectedly, we could find ourselves in a place where we are bewildered and where we feel confused and disorientated and in panic. Such is life. But what I've also learned is that it's in those moments where the unexpected happens to us, where we sometimes learn some precious life lessons, isn't it? And we discover more about who we are. And we might even find out in those moments of life that you and I experience who God really is. So, after stumbling around and stepping into the water, something happened. Something amazing happened. You know what changed everything for me? Easy. I found the light switch on the wall. And it was so crazy, I just flicked the switch. And that little light drove all the darkness out of that room. But it also drove all the fear and the anxiety. And claustrophobia can be nasty. It drove all of that out of my life. And I was as calm as a koala. Because they have koalas in Australia. You know, I was as calm as a koala. And I don't know where you are. Because you might find yourself in a dark place. And let's be honest. That dark place, that not knowing, that uncertainty, it is just the normal state, the condition of life, isn't it? Because we don't know. I don't know if I would go home and want peace this afternoon. I know what I'll be saying in 5 minutes still, so that's okay. You know? You don't know if this afternoon you might get that phone call where someone says, "Oh, Billy, I think you better sit down. I have really tragic news to share with you." And we all have made or received those phone calls. It might be the health of someone that you love dearly, and you see a person deteriorate, you know, whatever it is. That's all part of life. Now, where can we find the light switch that can turn light that could shine into the dark of our worlds? And the good news is this, that whenever we open the Bible, the lights go on. Get that? The lights go on when we read from the Bible. And the cool thing is that God's Word is a lamp for our feet But he is the light of the lamp. It's about this book, but it's not about this book. It's about the God who is present in this world and in people's lives and in your life. And that's what you would find in this book. It is him. You see, we cannot see God. Where is God? I cannot see God. Discover who he is like visually and just look at him and learn from him. But God clothes himself in Bible pages. And he says, you want to know what I look like? Look in this book. And in that book you will see me. Who I am. And who I am in this world. And what I mean in the lives of people. And how I want and can be present in your dark place. So I hope today we can turn on the light a little bit for you. And that today would help you. And that the Spirit will, through the Word, let light fall into your life. That's my prayer. Okay, so the passage we've read, the context. It was a glorious day for the disciples of Jesus. They were enjoying an amazing time. Alexander, you should put some tape on the edge of this front step. I'm going to take a dive down under here in Central Church. So I'll stay in this little mug. Where are we? Okay, so the disciples were having an amazing time. They were like the entourage of Jesus, right? Just walking along with him, and they were having a great time. They were looking into the miracles Jesus was performing. They were listening to this mind-bending stories Jesus were telling. And it was so beautiful on that day that actually the crowd grew larger and larger, and they were 5,000 men plus their families gathered on that day. So one could feel the excitement and the joy and the anticipation with the stick in that moment. And then a sneakers moment happened. People started to get hungry, right? And you know, when you're hungry, you focus on your stomach and not on what's happening in your world. And the disciples said, oh my, this is going to be excited. What's Jesus going to do about this problem of people who are hungry? And then he dropped the bombshell on them and he says, you feed them. Hey? And they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? Maybe we should call good food and order in some food, you know. They said, oh no, that's 2,000 years too early to do that. We cannot do that. And a DoorDash or whatever. And then they found a little boy with five fish and two bread and say, duh, like, how many people? But they placed it in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus thanked his Father. And then he did the crazy heavenly arithmetic, because as he was dividing, he was multiplying. And he was dividing the bread and the fish, and they fed everybody. And I could just see how the disciples were pumped and say, this is incredible. We didn't see this coming. And yet, friends, what was coming next for them? They were high. And then the Bible continues, and the very next verse, as we've read, said in verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew, immediately after this, whilst they were on cloud 9, immediately after this, Jesus made the disciples, his followers, get back on the boat and cross over to the other side. Immediately after that, they had a trio of troubles that were threatening them. Number one was the sea, big expanse of water. In the Bible, the sea is an image of life because it could be calm and the water is lovely. But it could be stormy. And foreign creatures lived in the unknown depths of the sea. So 3 o'clock in the morning, there they are on the water, on the sea. That's why we don't watch with the kids when they were younger, Shark Week, and then have them take a bath, because they would not go into the bathtub, because they have on the water, you know, sharks going to get to us, you know. So that was the first threat. The second one is all of this happened in the fourth watch. That's 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and then 3 to 6 again. So it was in that last little slot of time. And you and I know when it's dark, and it's like midnight, that's when the monsters creep into your heart, right? The fear gets into our hearts. I was a little bit scared to come and speak here today. I've done it a few times in my life, but I wasn't really afraid, but I was just anticipating this moment. And I wanted to be used by God and humbly come and help you see the light in his heart. But it's him working it, you know. So that happens in the dark hour of the morning. And they were there when we were at our weakest of the night. And then number three, they were there, scared, in a little boat, and looking around, saying, oh my goodness, it looks like there's a ghost coming toward us. It was Jesus approaching them. It's so beautiful, the Bible says, it's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Now, some of them were tax collectors. I would love to hear a tax collector cry out in fear, I'm scared. Wouldn't that be awesome to hear? Yeah, thank you, right? So there it is. But if it wasn't so funny, you know what's sad? Is that these people, in their dark moment, in challenging circumstances, they did not expect Jesus to come toward them. They did not expect Jesus to be present with them in their challenging moment. And guys, it's me. And I think oftentimes it could be you. That we try to solve our problems and we battle through things and we just do what we think we can and we moan and groan and complain and we whine. And then eventually the very last thing to do is say, oh yeah, God, would you now come and please intervene and be with me and save me and help me. And I'm guilty of that. And maybe you should think of whether you are prompt to seek his presence. Jesus speaks to them. He talks to them. And you know what he says to them? He says to them, guys, have you not been paying attention? When will you ever get this? Shame on you. No, that's not what he said. Jesus looked at them and he said to them, don't be afraid. Oh, and please hear these words of Jesus. Speak into your heart and into your situation. Do not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Why is he talking about fear? Because fear, angst is a condition of life. We're just constantly afraid in this world. And he says, do not be afraid. Why not? He answers this and he says, take courage. Do not fear. I am here. You see, fear does not have the power to destroy you. Fear does not have the power to destroy you. But Jesus, who is able, he is with you in the exam, in that medical test, in that issue with the neighbor, in your heartbreaking relationship with your daughter. Jesus, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Have courage. I am near. And this is a deep moment for explaining scripture. So I was like, just breathe. Get enough air in your brain to get this. Let me put it this way. We see the light of Jesus when we recognize his presence with us in the moment. You get that? Think about that a minute. When we think Jesus is the light, we think, oh, he's going to help us understand everything and just clear everything up and it will be, he's the light, everything's going to be clear and we will just understand everything. No. We won't understand everything in life and we cannot understand everything in life. But what he wants us to know is that the moment when you are wrestling through something and you discover discover there's someone going to close the door. That's good. That's good. I so would love to repeat this. I'm happy for the interruption. It gives a mental break here. That's good. Shall we go on? Guys, so see this. The light that God brings is the reality of His presence with us that gives us hope. And though we do not understand it, though we go through the dark valley, we shall not fear because He is with us in that moment. Okay? One more time. The reality of the presence of God in your life, that is the light you need to work through all of your challenges. And it's an incredible, incredible moment when you're struggling with something and it just hits you. I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. I don't have to fear. He is near. And my confession, I prayed this at 3 this morning. And when I stopped out there, I said, now, Jesus, I do not have to fear. Because You are near. And that lifted me up and brightened my mind. And I could go with joy and step into this place. Let's move on. Still with me? Okay, let's go. Next, Peter, of course, he was so inspired by what was happening. He says, I'd rather not be with this fearful bunch on the boat. And he says, Jesus, if it is You, tell me to come walking on the water. And then Jesus says, yes, come. Yes, come. And then the Bible says, so Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. Walking on water. Wow! That's the sermon title for today. Wow! You were wondering, what crazy sermon title? That's it. Wow! Walking on water. And when someone expresses a leap of faith, we go like, whoa! You know why? Because we see a person taking a step. It's like walking on the water. And the miracle, he put his foot on the water, pun intended, the miracle kicked in. Right? But the key here is this. Peter was not so much walking on the water as that he was standing on the word of Jesus. Aha. Yeah, he was walking on the water. But he was answering, he was responding to the word of Jesus that said, come. It's a risk to step out. But if we stand on the word of Jesus, let's jump out of that boat, you know? And we might think this is the highlight of the story, Peter walking on the water. There's a little bit more. In fact, we will get to the heart of the story soon. Because the Bible says, but, that big but, Aubrey's the big but, like he says that. But, now that came out wrongly, but you know what I mean. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. So what happened? Peter was looking at Jesus, he's standing on the word, but then the reality of the wind and the waves became bigger because he took his eye off Jesus. And then he got in trouble. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. He is the light for that moment. If you look at circumstance, you'll get in trouble. You might pray, God, I'm going to take my mom to the doctor tomorrow. Please bless us, Lord Jesus. We put our hope in You. And then you don't find parking close by, and the waiting room is a zoo, And there's this mom and this kid in the waiting room, and the nurse is grumpy, and the doctor is like a fridge or an ice cube. And you say, where is God? If that's the story, you were looking at the waves and the wind. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you would say, thank you, Lord, I could walk my mom for one extra block. And God, that mom that's so struggling with that kid, Jesus, would you bless her? It must be really hard on her. And that nurse that was so grumpy, her kid had an accident at school yesterday. And that's maybe why she felt that way. And though the doctor was like an ice cube, my mom got treatment, Lord, and I thank you. You see how the reality of the presence of Jesus is the light for every moment. And in Peter's fear, he was so terrified and he cried out. Now he was shouting, save me, Lord. I remember when I prayed that prayer, saved me. And then the Bible says in verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he pushed him back down into the water. And he said, shame on you for not trusting me. No, that's not what happened. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and he grabbed a hold of him. And this is the miracle of the story, right? This is the heartfelt moment. And then Jesus lifted him back onto the boat. And in his darkest hour, on a dark sea, sinking, he discovered the presence of Jesus with him, saving him. We're almost done here. Today is August 13. Water. My mom passed away on August 13, 7 years ago. So I have to tell you about the time when I was little, 40 years ago. Funny. And my sister and I in Africa, we were playing hide and seek. And we had a wash basket that was made from pressed wood around thing. And I jumped into the wash basket. That's washing basket, okay? And sitting there on my dad's stinky socks. And on the inside of this wash basket, there was about an inch in, there was a little rim there. So the lid would slip in and then sit on that rim on the inside. And I was waiting on my sister, but I had ants in my pants. So I wiggled and the basket bent a little bit and that lid slipped in. And when I had to press it up, it hit the rim from beneath. And I was locked into that small dark space with no light and no air. It was horrible, fearful. What do? I cried out to my mom, Mom, come help me. And she came searching for me. She found me. And it was so beautiful. She reached in and she lifted that lid out. And the light was just flooding on me. And I leaped into her arms and she held me. It's okay. I didn't plan that, sorry. You know, I will never forget that. She was present, saving me. And we would say, Peter, yeah, Peter would say, I remember being on the water. I remember the hour. I remember how scared we were. I remember when I stepped out of the boat and I was on the water. But he would say, but above all, I will remember Jesus being present like the light on me there in the water and how his hands just grabbed me and lifted me out and pulled me into the boat. And he discovered God in Jesus being the one that saved him. And you know, this is my prayer for you, that in your unknown of tomorrow, that you would clearly hear these words, I pray. Jesus saying, do not fear, have courage. Regardless, I am near. And he shall be the light and the presence, his saving presence of your life. And he will be there for you when tomorrow you would have to step out of the boat and you would have to walk on the water. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you know this world we live in, a broken reality where fear and not knowing is just part of every second before the next second, Lord. Thank you for the good and the abundance that we share, but above all, thank you, Lord, that today we know that your presence is with us in all and through all. And oh, we see the light this morning. We understand, Jesus, the reality of your saving presence that could be with us and carry us through, that fear does not have the final word because you are able and you are Lord and we belong to you and you love us and you're committed to us. Father, I pray that these, my friends, will see you standing there as they need to step out of their boat tomorrow. And the light and the joy of your presence shall shine upon them, we pray. Amen.